This morning, I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Acts. Turn to the book of Acts. The title of my message this morning is Good News for the Desperate. Good News for the Desperate. We're going to be looking at Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 12. Acts chapter 13, verses 6 through 12. Good news for the desperate. But before we read God's word, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for all the things you've given us. Help us, Lord, to be in a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness all the time. We thank you for our salvation. We thank you for your grace and mercy that we don't deserve. We thank you, Lord, for our health. We thank you for this day. We thank you for our church that we can come and worship you. We thank you for your word. Help us, Lord, to study it today, Father. Help us, the truth of it, Lord, change our life. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us. And Lord, I just pray that we would just be more like you when we leave this place. Lord, we pray that you just take away all distraction. Help us, Lord, to stay attentive, Lord, to your word. Help us, Lord, to honor it. And Father, I ask that we would leave here different than how we came in. Father, I pray that you bind Satan on our behalf. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In our passage this morning, we see Paul and Barnabas and John Mark on the first missionary journey. It says here in verse 6, it says, and when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas, the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went around seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. In this passage here, we see the start of Paul's first missionary journey. So Saul embarks on this first missionary journey. You know, missionary work would be the fulfillment of God's purpose in Paul's life. God changed Saul. Changed his name, as we see here in this passage, to do the work that he wanted him to do. That's the will of God. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, that we should walk in them. So Paul gets saved, and he's led by the hand, or he meets Christ on the Damascus Road. He's led by the hand to Ananias, and the Holy Spirit tells Ananias, God tells Ananias, he's going to come looking for you. And Ananias said, well, wait a second. He's the one that persecutes us. But in Acts chapter 9, verse 15, it says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. He's talking. And Ananias had to overcome his fear by faith and do what God had created him to do. God created Ananias to share with Paul the gospel. God created Saul to share the gospel to a lost and dying Gentile world, and also to go to the Jews too. God creates all of us, recreates all of us, gives us new birth in Christ Jesus to fulfill his purpose. And his purpose is that we proclaim the gospel, how God has changed us to other people so they would be changed too. In a way of a map, you could see on the red there on the map that this was a shorter missionary journey. Paul went on three. Some people said he went on four. But the issue is on the first one, he basically just went to the island of Cyprus, and then he went to Turkey. You know, those countries still need the gospel today. That's where all this ferment and all this violence is going on. But he's going to leave from Antioch, and he's going to go to Cyprus, and then he's going to go up into what's modern-day Turkey and establish churches and then come back to Antioch. Paul and Barnabas were called by the Lord and sent by the church at Antioch. We see a lot of things about missionaries here. A missionary we support has a sending church. They have been identified by that church, had the special call of God, the special purpose of God on them, and they have surrendered to that, and they're sent out from this church. My prayer is that eventually someone would be sent out from this church to be a missionary also. So we see here in the first five verses of Acts chapter 13 how this worked. It says, now the church that was at Antioch, certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. You know, people say, well, I want God to use me. Well, you got to be available. Okay? And then you want to be willing to work. God's never going to use someone who doesn't want to work. Any boss doesn't want a non-productive worker. You know, doesn't want a non-productive student. And we need to have work. And if we are working for God, he will allow us to do more things for him. It says, when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. And when they were at Salamis, which is the port there, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John Mark, to their minister. So here we see the map here, and here we see the call. And he sailed to Cyprus to minister. Now, it's interesting that Cyprus is Barnabas' birthplace. You know, God wants us to go to people who are familiar with us, places that we're familiar with us, so we can start our journey there. And Acts chapter 4, verse 36, it says here, and Joseph, who by the apostles were surnamed Barnabas. So now we see where Barnabas came from. His birthplace was, it says, which is being interpreted, the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of what? Cyprus. Sometimes God sends us out in a familiar place where it should be easy to do the initial work of God. And then he can grow our faith, and then we can go do things that we never thought possible before. But basically, they go to Barnabas' birthplace, and they preach, as we see here in the first five verses, they preach at the synagogue of Salamis, which was the port of Cyprus. You know, the Bible says that Jesus came into his own, and his own received him not. God's message was to the Jews because the promise was to the Jews. But because his message is to all of us. And Paul followed that pattern. He says here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the who? To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. If you read the book of Acts, when Paul went into a city, he went to the synagogue. Now, he had special privilege because he was a Pharisee. God uses our past and our past skills and our past background to open doors so we can minister to him. We all have unique natural talents. We all have spiritual gifts. God wants to use all of us, not just a piece of us. He wants to use all of us to do this. So he goes to the synagogue and he preaches there to the Jews. And then now he goes to Paphos. And Paphos is the capital city. It's where everything is happening. God wants us not to be on the sidelines. He wants us to be in the middle of human activity. He wants us to be where people are. We're not supposed to be hermits. We're supposed to surrender. And he meets two people here. And everything that goes on in life is a spiritual battle. First of all, he meets this man by the name of Bar-Jesus, who opposes them. And then he meets another man by the name of Sergius Paulus, who accepted Christ. So today we're going to look at Sergius Paulus, the deputy, and what he wanted to do and how the spiritual battle went on in this. See, in verse 7 here, we see that the deputy had a desire. The deputy had a desire. It says here, which with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. He desired to hear the word of God. You know why? Because it's good news. It's good news. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 25 says, as cold water is to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. He may have heard about what was going on in Jerusalem and the crucifixion and everything else and this man by the name of Jesus, but we don't know. But he desired to hear the word of God. There are people, even today, that are eager to hear God's word. They just have to be told. Are you willing to go? Saul and Barnabas went, along with John Mark. I am thankful that we have missionaries that will go to a foreign country. And it's interesting that when they go to this country, they find people who are waiting for them. There's letter after letter from missionaries saying, we were just waiting for a missionary to come and tell us about Jesus. So Sergius Paulus was eager to hear the word of God. You know, we need good news today. There's a lot of things going wrong in our mind in the world today. But you know something? God is still God. God is still sovereign. God still provides salvation to all who believe. God gives us grace and mercy. He gives us all things that pertain to life and godliness. See, we need to desire the word of God also. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says this, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the world, of the word, that ye may grow thereby. So the deputy had a desire to hear the word of God. I hope this morning that you came to church with a desire to hear God's word. Oh, please, don't church based out of routine. Okay? Or that's the thing to do. Come here to be encouraged by God's word. The deputy was a prudent proconsul. Now, the Roman Empire was set up into two different sets of provinces. There were senatorial provinces, and there were imperial provinces. Senatorial provinces were governed by a proconsul who was elected by the Senate, appointed by the Senate, kind of like an ambassador today, and served as a governor in that area for a set period of time. And then either the Senate would renew them or basically say, we're going to put somebody else in place. Those are different than the imperial councils, where people were appointed by the emperor himself. Pilate was an imperial council in that area. He was appointed. The deputy says he was a prudent deputy. Actually, the word for deputy could be translated as proconsul. He's like a governor. And so it also says that he was prudent. Prudent means to be wise. In Psalm 107, verse 43, it says, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. You know, the loving kindness of the Lord is summed up in Jesus Christ. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So this man was a wise man because he desired to hear the word of God. We need to desire to hear the word of God. He understood that the word of God was something that a wise person would seek. We're going into the Christmas season, and it said, you see the bumpers, wise men still what? Seek him. It was a wise man that found Jesus in this house. It was a wise man that were looking for all the stars and everything necessary to guide them to Christ. It was a wise man that lurked in the word of God that Daniel wrote and understood it was the time. Oh, be wise today to hear the word of God. Be wise today to understand the loving kindness of God. You know, this important man knew he needed God. I find it interesting, here we have Sergius Paulus, a governor, basically, wanting to hear God. Just a few years prior, there was a man by the name of Pilate. And he was a governor, too. He didn't want to hear the word of God. He wanted his hands to be washed of the whole thing. He told Jesus, he says, don't you understand that I have the power to release you or the power to crucify you? And Christ set him straight and said, you have no power except it given to you by my Father. And so the issue is that Sergius Paulus knew that there was something missing in his life. He knew that his human power was insufficient, that there was limits power. And that's what made him want to hear the word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26, it says, for ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God doesn't want anyone to perish. He's not willing anyone should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. But the problem with the Pharisees, and the problem with Pilate, and the problem with the Sanhedrin, and the problem with all the Jewish, well, they were just worried about power. And we've been going through the book of John and talking about, hey, if we don't serve Jesus, we're going to lose our place. We're going to lose our power. That's not being wise. Don't look at what you have to give up of yourself to come to Jesus. Look at what you get. Look at what you get. So he had a desire to hear the word of God because it's new good news, and we need to do that too. He was a wise man because he understood that this message that had been probably told to him was something totally different that no one had ever heard of before. And he knew deep down inside that there was something missing. He knew that there was a God. He knew that he needed him. So the deputy had a desire. There's a lot of people today that want to hear about God. Amen. They want to hear about salvation. They want to hear the good news, but he was distracted. And so enter Elymas. Elymas, the word is a Roman translation for magician or for sorcerer. He called himself in the Hebrew Bar-Jesus, which means son of Jesus. He was a Jew. He was a false prophet and a sorcerer. Folks, somewhere on the horizon of the future, there's a man that's going to call himself the Son of God. And he's going to be in a place that people are going to worship him and people are going to say, you're all magical, you're all powerful. Bar-Jesus is just a picture of an antichrist. Someone to basically snatch things away. The word for sorcerer that's in the Greek is magos, which means powerful one. It's the exact same word that's used in Daniel to talk about the astrologers and the soothsayers and everyone else that gave Nebuchadnezzar advice, but gave him the wrong advice. But they couldn't interpret dreams. They couldn't understand the plan of God because they were in it for themselves. You know, the real issue here is, here we have a governor sitting in the seat of power in Cyprus, and right next to him is a sorcerer. Right next to him is an evil man. You know, we need to understand that everything goes on in the world as a spiritual battle. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness and high places." And we see out here in this story of Sergius Paulus. So he is there, and he wanted to keep Paulus away from the word. It says here in verse 8, last part, it says, "But seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith." Christ, in the parable of the seed and the sower, talks about the seed that falls down on stony ground. And in Mark chapter 4, verse 15, it says, And these are they by the wayside when the word is sown, but when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts. Listen to the word of God today. Don't let Satan, who's at work even now, don't let Satan snatch the truth of God out of your life. Listen to what he has to say. Pay attention to this. So he's distracted by Elymas, who called himself the son of Jesus and gave himself a name, Bar-Jesus. But his real name meant magician. His real name meant sorcerer. He wanted to turn Paulus away from the word. And folks, it is a spiritual battle out there. You know, today, there's a lot of distractions in the world by people saying that they have special gifts from God. And it says, even so, in the last days, there'll be many that rise up. It says, "I'm coming in his name. I'm the Antichrist." Don't go out to the desert to find him. Don't go out to don't go there. Don't go there. See, they come and they're right beside the truth. And they want you to worship them instead of worshiping God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 through 15, Paul writes to the Corinthian church, which was struggling too. And it says this, it says, "For such are false apostles." Apostles. People will say they were called of God. "Deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." And no marvel. For Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. So we had someone that wanted to hear the gospel, wanted to hear the good news, knew, even though he's an important man, he knew that there was something missing in his life. And right there at this meeting with Barnabas and Saul, there is the agent of Satan and Elymas, or Bar-Jesus. See, we need to understand some things here. It is time to speak up. Saul boldly rebukes the enemy, okay, of the truth, here in verses 9 and 10. He calls him, he says, look at verse 9. He says, "Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, 'O fool, of all subtlety and mischief. He says, you're a deceiver. You're a distractor. When we're sharing the gospel, we're telling the truth. There will be those that don't believe it. There will be those that speak against it. What are we going to do then? You need to stand for the truth. He identified his actions and his heritage. He says, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. Folks, we need to see things as they truly are. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 6, it says, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. But I think, too many times we as Christians don't know enough of the truth that we can identify someone who's false. And we allow that to happen, and we allow it to continue, and it distracts, and it gets people off the target of the gospel. Gets people off the target of the truth. You know, Christ had no problems calling out the Pharisees. In John chapter 4, verse 44, it says, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. When they said, we're Abraham's seed, we're the chosen people. He says, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. In Revelation chapter 20, without our dogs and sorcerers and evildoers and liars, they have no part. They have no part with God. And they want you to have no part with God too. They want to keep you distracted. There are so many distractions now that take us off that. There's so many things that will get in the way of the true mission of the church, which is the gospel. You know, we as servants must boldly denounce sin and false teaching. And that's my encouragement for you today. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, it says, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In verse 9 here, it says that Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. He had God on his side. He had God empowered. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5, the Bible says this, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're not things that we were, but mighty through God to the pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Folks, when we get distracted in church, when we get distracted reading our word, when we get distracted in prayer, that's the devil. We can't be distracted. Our weapons are mighty through God. Saul called him out here. He was full of the Holy Ghost. He says, look. He says, you are full of all mischief. You are a child of the devil. Well, I don't want people to know truth the way it is. Then he calls him out. He says, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And then in verse 11, Elymas is stricken blind for his opposition to the truth. And he says, and now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. It was not a permanent blindness, but it was to get his attention. This week I was talking to some people. I said, I don't understand why all these things are happening to me. Maybe it's to have God get your attention. Has a couple of ladies stop by for prayer yesterday. And I said, these problems are too big for me. And I said, you're really close to the truth, because that's where faith starts. Because they're too big for you, because if they were inside of your scope, you could control them yourself. But these things are something that God has to come into your life and do for you. And you need his grace, and you need his mercy, and you need his salvation, and you need his truth, and you need to understand that he is doing these things for us to understand that we need him. So I wonder what happened when, the Bible doesn't say, but what happened when Elimelech got his sight back? Because he wasn't permanently blind. I think he probably had a change of heart. You know, the issue is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31 says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Here it says in verse 11, he says, now the hand of the Lord is upon thee. People were struck. 185,000 Assyrians were struck with blindness trying to attack Jerusalem in the reign of Hezekiah because the hand of the Lord got involved. And folks, when you go against God, you're blind. And we've seen in our study in John how they were so blinded that they couldn't understand the truth that was set before them. And so we see the deputy desired to hear the word of God. We see that the deputy was distracted. But you know, the deputy made a decision. Amen? And today we're all called to this point to make a decision. When he saw what happened to Elimelech, he believed. It says, when he saw what was done in verse 12, he says he believed. He saw that false teaching leads to blindness. In a physical way, he observed himself. Folks, we need to understand that lesson too. False teaching leads to blindness. He turned from false doctrine to faith in Christ. Satan doesn't win when God is sought by faith. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. Even greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Later on, Paul is talking to King Agrippa. He's getting ready to go to Rome for his first and only time. And he goes in Acts chapter 26, verses 17 through 18, he says, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles whom now I send thee. This is his conversion. And we just saw what he said in Acts chapter 9, verse 15 to Ananias. He said, he's a chosen vessel to me. And he says, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. We do not have to be a missionary to be on a journey to do this. This is our purpose in life, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. And the power of Satan is fighting even today. Oh, you just have to look over the last couple of weeks and see that people are more willing to believe the lie than the truth. And it's tearing the world apart. That's what Satan wants. He wants the world torn apart so he can come in and give a false peace and everybody will follow the Antichrist. So the deputy believed when he saw what happened to Elimelech. The deputy was astonished at what Saul had said to Elimelech. The gospel was truly good news to him, and he believed. The death and resurrection of Christ captured his heart. Now, here's a little thing. At this point in time, this is the first time that the name Paul was used for Saul. Think about it. God saves us. He makes us a new creature. When we start working for him, he changes our name. He changes the direction. He was no longer in Antioch. He's now in another country. He's brought before kings. He's brought before a governor, because that's what God told his disciples that was going to happen. He understood the truth and he told that to other people without any sort of reservation at all. And God identified him differently. And from this point on, it's no longer Saul. It's Paul. Folks, let's have a new start in God today. Let's have a new start by being saved, by knowing him for our salvation, forgiveness of sins. Let's have a new start in doing the purpose that he set out for us today. Walk in the power of God. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Lord, we just ask invitation. Just search our hearts and help us, Lord, just to do what you want us to do, Lord, for your glory. Father, if someone here does not know you as Savior, Lord, I pray that this would be the day of their salvation. Father, help us, Lord, if we're distracted in our daily life, Lord, help us to confess that to you, and Father, to say, I am not going to do that anymore. Your grace, and that we will leave here dedicated instead of distracted to you. Father, help us to be about the purpose that you've set us to be, to share your word, to have the power of God work through us. We give you this time of invitation. We have you ask that your Holy Spirit have full reign here. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.